Good morning once again, everyone. Thank you for joining us. If you're dropping by on the internet, welcome. Perhaps you're not a regular attendee of Chesley Community Church, but we encourage you to join via the internet and appreciate you being there. Here we are on daylight saving time. Spring is certainly here, and today as I'm recording, the sun is shining. Temperature's going to be about plus 9 or plus 10. And so it's great to see the sunshine and to see the spring season return. Thank you for being part of this ministry, and just a reminder that if you want to support us financially, you can do that by either bringing your gift to a live service, to mailing it in, to emailing it in, or you can check for the giving page on our website. Well, last Sunday we took a break from our study of the Holy Spirit to focus on communion, on the Lenten season, and leading up to Easter. But today we're returning to our multi-segmented series entitled The Pursuit of the Holy Spirit. And today we want to examine briefly the term, the gifts of the Spirit. We know from our previous segments that the Holy Spirit is a gift to believers from God the Father. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, that's Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus told his followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus here is reminding his followers of the coming gift of the Holy Spirit. And then if we go over to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we find Peter preaching to his listeners, and as part of that message he says this: "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And 2 weeks ago in our study we saw confirmation that the gift of the Spirit would be with us until the end of the age. Now, when we think about that, if the Spirit has been promised to be with us until the end of the age, it would seem to be logical to conclude that the ministry of the Holy Spirit and whatever gifts that the Holy Spirit would bring to us would also be with us to the end of the age. And with that in mind, today we want to shift our attention from God's gift of the Holy Spirit to the gifts of the Spirit, gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to Spirit-filled believers. We want to begin by covering some basic but critically important principles surrounding spiritual gifts. First of all, genuine followers of Jesus are people who serve in one way, or maybe even several ways, but they do serve in at least one way. And from our Lord's words and the entire New Testament for that matter, we are constantly reminded that believers are called to be those that serve. They are to be active participants in building and sponsoring the kingdom. For example, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And Paul writes there, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so he can do the good things he has planned for us long ago." Now, serving is not about being saved or about salvation. It's not about doing enough things for God in order to earn sufficient merit that will provide us with a pass to heaven. Salvation comes, and only comes, via another gift of God, the gift of grace and mercy that is manifested in God's gifting us with his Son to die on our behalf. That's where our salvation comes from, the gift of God through Jesus. But given the magnitude of God's gift of salvation to us through Jesus, an obligation is placed on believers, placing an obligation on believers to serve is not an unreasonable request. Life, and our life in particular, is another gift from God. The question is, how will we use this amazing gift of life? What will I do with it? Certainly, a large part of our lives is devoted to daily life, earning a living, raising our families, and so on. But what part of the gift of life that we have been given will we devote to serving the one who has gifted us? Jesus is not only our Savior, He's our coming Judge. The parable of the talents and the words of Revelation remind us that we will be held accountable for what we have done with our lives. 21st century Christianity has in many cases preached a cheap salvation. Essentially, it says that just say the sinner's prayer, and here's your ticket to glory. Now go and take it easy until the Lord comes, or until you go to be with Him. When this mindset prevails, Christianity becomes a large waiting room, people waiting for the Lord to return or for them to be taken through death to glory. People who allow themselves to fall into this trap have a very difficult day coming. Jesus is both Savior and Judge, and there's coming a day when we will all have to give an account. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7, we read these words. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Now, there are four important points that we can learn from these verses. First, there are different kinds of gifts. Secondly, there are different kinds of service or different ways that we can serve. But each believer has the opportunity, and I believe the obligation, to use his or her gifting to serve and to help each other and those around. Thirdly, each Spirit-filled believer has been given at least one gift. You can check this out as well in 1 Peter 4:10. That's 1 Peter 4:10, and we read there, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So in several places we are reminded that each believer has been given at least one spiritual gift, and the purpose of these gifts is to serve. Serve the Lord in building the kingdom and serve by supporting others. Fourthly, we see here that it is part of God's plan to be recruiting willing believers for the work of His kingdom. And the way that He equips us for that work is first to fill us with His Holy Spirit, and then for the Spirit to bestow us with a gift or gifts that will empower us to accomplish the work that we're called to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, that's 1 Corinthians 13:8, Paul speaks about desiring spiritual gifts. Desiring spiritual gifts. So how would one define a spiritually healthy believer? And there would be maybe several aspects of that definition, but a key one would be this. A spiritually healthy believer would be one who is enthusiastically welcoming the invitation to serve in God's kingdom and actively desiring the spiritual gifts that will enable him or her to serve effectively for the cause of the kingdom. And if they are actively doing this, then it would only make sense that the Holy Spirit will be providing the spiritual gifts that will help them not just to succeed, but to succeed and to thrive and to excel at the opportunities to serve that they have been given. So again, our passion should be the ongoing pursuit of the Spirit. That is, to be filled with the Spirit and then be desiring the spiritual gifts from Him that will help us with our calling. Now, there are several places where spiritual gifts are mentioned, and I'm going to just cover two of the lists. There's actually four different lists that we can find in the New Testament that cover spiritual gifts, but just to give us a good overview, we go to Romans chapter 12, and we look at verses 6 through 13. That's Romans 12, verses 6 through 13. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what was wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And then for the second list today, we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And as I mentioned, there are two other lists. One's given in Ephesians chapter 4, and the other in 1 Peter chapter 4, and you can check those out on your own. So there's some points being made in these lists. First, each believer has at least one gift. Secondly, there is a wide variety of gifts. And thirdly, there may be other gifts that are not specifically mentioned in these lists. God knows the opportunities and plans that He has for you. He knows what gifts are best suited for you and the work that He has called you to do. If you are enthusiastic about the opportunity of serving Him and desiring the infilling of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, you can be confident that your need will be supplied. Now, in the next couple of minutes, we want to consider the nature of the various gifts. Some might divide the gifts of the Spirit into two broad categories, which, for the purposes of discussion, we could call the miraculous versus the non-miraculous. Now, these are admittedly not precision terms, but they will serve the point to facilitate some discussion. For example, if we consider the word or the gift of teaching, you know, anyone can teach something, at least to some degree. We see that gift exercised in parents teaching their children. And, you know, we also see it evidenced in children teaching other children and sometimes not teaching them what we would like, but they're teaching each other nonetheless. We know, for example, that there are school teachers that have a natural ability to teach. And we could add another level to that. We also know that there are teachers who seem to have exceptional skills or God-given gifting at their profession. But we don't usually call this the type of gift that would be miraculous. If, on the other hand, we consider prophecy, that is prophecy in the context of a warning or a prediction about the future, and assuming it were to come true, we would see that as somewhat miraculous. And there are many examples of miraculous prophecies coming true in the scriptures. Many prophecies about the Babylonian captivity and Joel's prophecy about the coming of the Holy Spirit, just to mention a few. Similarly, we might classify the gift of healing or the working of miracles or speaking in tongues mentioned in the list of spiritual gifts as miraculous type gifts. Now, some people have adopted a position that suggests that the miraculous type gifts were given only for a specific period to launch the early church, and having accomplished that, these gifts have ceased. They would point to the fact that these miraculous type gifts certainly don't seem to be as prevalent today as they were in the days of the early church. And they would also point to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, where Paul writes, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." Note carefully, when the perfect comes. However, when we think about the context here, we see that the passing away of these gifts is coincident with when the perfect comes. And if we look at Paul's introduction to this letter in chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, we see that Paul was looking forward to the coming of Christ. He writes, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you will also note that he makes the point that they would not be lacking in any gift right up to the time that the Lord would return. So it would seem logical to conclude that what Paul was talking about when he was speaking about the perfect coming is that he was speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was referencing in the first verses of that chapter. Now, it is true that we do not seem to see as much evidence of the miraculous gifts in our time as what the apostles were experiencing in the early years of the church. And I do think that it's much too easy to attribute this disparity to a belief that somehow or other the gifts ceased, rather than to be seriously asking ourselves whether we are pursuing the Spirit, desiring his gifts, and believing that he will still equip us to do the work we are called to do. Perhaps we need to spend more time challenging ourselves why these gifts are not as evident as they once were, challenging our position that we are in Christ, challenging our excitement about him promising the gifts of the Spirit to us. Now, as we leave our thoughts on the gifts of the Spirit for today, I want to point out some words of Paul that act as kind of a huge umbrella covering the wide range of gifts from the Holy Spirit. They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 27 through chapter 13, verse 1. So we bridge over the end of chapter 12 into chapter 13. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, secondly, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now desire eagerly the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." First, I want you to note here that Paul lists a wide variety of the gifts, but he points out that unless a spiritual gift is operated in love, under that umbrella of love, the gift and its potential value is rendered useless. Secondly, note that the exercising of the gifts is not a perfect art. Remember from our previous reading where Paul said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are operated through our human imperfection. While our efforts may be noble, we will on occasion make mistakes while using the gifts the Spirit has given us. Unless our ministry, whatever that might be, and with whatever gifts have been provided to assist in that ministry, is covered in a life of love, our ministry will not be effective and actually may be harmful. So let's be careful to give preeminence to love in our ministry, to focus on first love, and then as we operate the gifts, recognize that we're not perfect. We need to pray carefully. We need to seek the Lord consistently and let the Spirit direct us in the ministry of the gifts. Lord, as we close today, we want to lift up those who may be suffering, who may be anxious about the circumstances that we're going through. Lord, you know those that are struggling with physical issues. You know those who have lost loved ones and are in a grieving process. You know those who are anxious, fearful. Lord, I pray that your healing power would be powerful in each and every one of those lives. Minister to them as only you can, Lord. We thank you for each person that's joined today. We thank you for the promises of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of eternal life that's ours through Jesus. We thank you for the promises of the gifts of the Spirit. Help us to be desiring those gifts with the proper motive, the motive of serving you in the kingdom building activities that you've called us to be part of. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. Thank you for that opportunity. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.